Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have within you the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way with new eyes. So stay with us, and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today, the law of attraction. And before we say something about the law of attraction, I'd like to say we have a special offer in regard to the Alice Bailey books later on, so stay with us and I'll tell you more about it later. However, let me say a few words about Alice Bailey before we explore the law of attraction. Alice Bailey wrote 24 books of esoteric philosophy, and those 24 books are the main inspiration for the dialogue that we hear on this show. Alice Bailey also founded the Lucis Trust. And, by the way, the following thought is also from the works of Alice Bailey. Under the law of attraction, spirit and matter met together, and the manifested universe came into being. With all the talk about the law of attraction, how does this relate to the opening thought from Alice Bailey?
Indirectly, we could say, or esoterically, there is a lot of talk today about the law of attraction and the movie, The Secret, the book. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to listen to all the discussion. I think probably they are focused more on the matter aspect than the spirit aspect in their discussion. And Alice Bailey said, under the law of attraction, spirit and matter met together. The ageless wisdom, or the perennial philosophy, views spirit and matter as one. H.P. Blavatsky, the founder of Theosophy, said that matter is spirit on its lowest level of existence, and spirit is matter on its highest level, and the two are one. So the law of attraction is that universal energy that draws them together and brings all of the manifested realm into being, including you and I and all the forms that make up our planetary existence. But the emphasis of the current focus on the law of attraction in the popular realm seems to be on the material plane, on personal acquisition, on comfort and well-being, and there's nothing wrong with that. But the spiritual, really deeply spiritual component behind the law of attraction is what we wanted to focus on today, because it's one of three basic cosmic laws, Alice Bailey said.
Yes, it's one of the most basic laws of the universe. It's in fact the major law of the solar system, and it's an aspect of the law of love, and it's that this great law that holds everything together in a coherent package, a coherent form, and all the cells and the bits of matter and that make up all the earth and everything upon the earth are held together by this great law of attraction. So, I mean, what these people are discussing in this film, The Secret, there is a certain grain of truth there that you can attract by using this force, you can attract things to you. You know, what you desire. But that we should also remember that there is much, much more to this whole law of attraction, and should not go off thinking that this is it and this is something new, because it isn't new. It's been a law that's been in existence since the earth has been in existence. And so I think we should try to see the big picture here and to keep it in proportion.
The law of attraction, as I mentioned, is one of the three major cosmic laws that govern our solar system. And the other two we should mention are the law of synthesis and the law of economy, which are fascinating to ponder. But as you said, the law of attraction is based on love. It has to do with quality, as I understand it. And it has a counterpart, which is interesting to ponder on. The law of attraction and repulsion is really the complete law. Attraction and repulsion. Repulsion has a repulsive connotation to it, but in fact, it too is a spiritual force. And maybe if we reviewed some of that teaching, people would understand why. Alice Bailey said that where spirit and matter are coordinated, and whereby the central life dwelling within all forms can gain experience and expand its consciousness through the experience of dwelling within a form. And we're talking about a human being or an animal or a nation or an idea or a planet. There is a spiritual entity working out its experience and its evolution by dwelling within that form and gaining awareness and self-knowledge. Then, at a certain point, when it is inhibited or held back by that form that it's dwelling within, the law of repulsion takes over and it releases the form, because the form no longer serves it. So this whole process of acquiring a form, evolving, progressing through it, and then in time releasing it has to do with death, birth, evolution, growth.
Yes, and you see it manifesting in electrical phenomena and electricity, because you have this law of attraction between negative poles and positive poles, and that holds things together. That's why we have electricity. But there is also at work there the law of repulsion, because, speaking in electrical terms, a negative polarity will repulse another negative polarity, or positive also will repulse another like polarity. So you have both laws working together there, the law of attraction and the law of repulse, right there in the electrical phenomenon that we use every day.
Well, then I think we work ourselves into a corner, because on the one hand, we're saying like attracts like, and then on the other hand, you're suggesting opposites attract.
Well,
I can't sort this out.
Electrically,
is that called a paradox?
That sounds okay.
Electrically speaking, I think opposites attract, but in terms of quality, in terms of the soul aspect, mm-hmm. like qualities do attract, mm-hmm. whether it's a like of a positive nature or a likeness of a negative nature, because I think two negatives in terms of quality can attract. We are attracted to other people, for example, by whether they're very positive or perhaps by they're very negative. If we are feeling very negative, then maybe we are attracted to other people who are also carrying the same negativity.
Well, yes, I think all of us have experienced days when we are in a bad mood. We say we got up on the wrong side of the bed, and the day progresses out of that initial attitude that started the day off. It's probably something we've all witnessed. We carry an attitude with us that then evokes similar quality to our day. But I think one thing that the law of attraction secret discussion might be a little bit inaccurate about is saying that we don't dare allow ourselves to think or be aware of anything negative like Iraq or anything that would upset us, because that's dark and bad and negative, and war is bad, and we shouldn't give any attention to it. I've heard some of the people in this discussion that's going on now saying that sort of thing. I don't think that's true. I think we do have to be aware of the world in all of its components, the negativity, the unredeemed aspects of life, as well as the more pleasing ones. But I do think what they might be meaning to say is that when we are in an environment or with a group of people or in a place that has a feeling of low-grade quality to it, that that's our own law of repulsion telling us that that's not a suitable environment for us and we ought to extract ourselves. For example, I don't think we should go to movies or engage in discussions or go into places that feel low grade. They are not for us. For other people, they might be suitable. But when you have that repulsion to a particular environment, it's probably beneath you.
Right. And these are just natural ways that we react. We don't really think about why, but it's, in fact, it is the law of attraction and the law of repulsion working through us. And this is comes by way of the soul, and these are the laws that are working. And the more that we can realize that what we do throughout the day, what we think and throughout the day, is very much governed by these cosmic laws or these universal laws. Maybe if we begin to see ourselves in those terms, we'd have a much broader picture and see ourselves as, you know, as cosmic beings or solar beings, because we're reacting in the same way that planetary bodies react, and that all the physical manifestations on the Earth react in much the same way.
A lot of the focus on the law of attraction has to do with the acquiring of material wealth. And there's an interesting aspect to that. The spiritual law is that to those who give, all shall be given. In other words, we should give in order to receive, in order to give again, viewing money as a kind of a flowing energy that passes through our hands and moves on to do spiritual work. But the discussion of the law of attraction sometimes seems to be imply that one should attract a lot of wealth to hold and keep for oneself and one's own benefit. I don't think that's the most spiritual approach to that law. We get what we give, not only in terms of material resources, but in terms of whatever comes back to us. And that applies to love. Those who want love in their lives attract it by giving love. Don't wait for somebody to love you. Give love. Give it abundantly and without question, and you will find more love than you can possibly use comes back to you. That's part of the law, that to those who give, all shall be given.
Just cast your bread upon the waters.
Yeah.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight. Our topic for today, the law of attraction. We have a special offer today from Luce's Publishing Company, and that's the complete collection of the Alice Bailey books, all 24 esoteric books by Alice Bailey. It's all esoteric philosophy, and I guess one of the reasons why we're making this special on the entire collection is because, well, in regard to today's topic, the law of attraction, it's found in numerous books. There are so many of the Alice Bailey books that that follow that particular theme, and I guess when you peruse all of the books that have this particular theme, I don't know how many in general have them, but several of them do. You'd have to look it up in the table of contents and find out find out which books contain further further discussion on that particular law of attraction. So the entire collection is on sale today. If you call up Lucis Trust, 1-866-695-8247, you can find out about the entire collection. It's a 10% discount on the entire collection. You would have to buy the entire collection in order to receive the 10% discount. I personally think that the books are underpriced as it is. I don't want to give Sarah and Dale any ideas, but when you go into any bookstore today, I mean, my goodness, the wealth of information in the Alice Bailey books, and also there's such large books. I mean, it's amazing for what they're selling at as it is in this day and age, where everything is inflation seems to be hitting everything. But here you are, you're getting a 10% discount on all 24 books. So take advantage of the sale and give us a call at 1-866-695-8247. Ask about the complete collection of Alice Bailey books. The easy way to remember the phone number is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866 New York LUCIS. LUCIS is LUCIS. All of our InnerSight programs can be heard on our website at www.lucistrust.org. On the homepage, you'll find a link to today's program, which will be available for hearing in a day or two. Last week's program is already available, and many of our past programs can also be heard. Once again, the website, www.lucistrust.org. The theme of each week's program is posted in advance on our website, also so that you can see in advance what next Sunday's program will be. And also, those people who like this show, there's so many people who have expressed interest in this show and that have also given us an idea that the show has, that InnerSight has impacted their lives in very significant ways. So if you'd like to support InnerSight, keep us on the air. That's the way we continue doing these shows. Donations are tax deductible. They can be sent to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005, and that would be in the form of a check or money order. All donations, large and small, certainly are an indication of your support, and they all collectively help us out. Once again, it's Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And, of course, I've been listening very attentively to Sarah and Dale speaking about the law of attraction. It's certainly a trend right now with that film, The Secret, that's going around, that was on Oprah. And, you know, actually, I think it's misnamed. It certainly is a catchy title for the film, The Secret, but Alice Bailey wrote these books many, many years ago. I think it was during the 1930s or 20s, 1920s maybe, and 30s, and even a little bit after that. But she wrote about this information about the law of attraction. And then also, Sarah, isn't the law of attraction part of the ageless wisdom going back thousands of years?
Yes, it's one of the fundamental laws that govern the universe. So it's new to some folks who have discovered that it works in their own lives and they want to tell others about it, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. But, yes, it's an ancient law. One of the interesting things about it is that it works with sound. And
that's interesting.
Yeah. Well, we have a couple of images that come to my mind. The Pied Piper of Hamelin, who played his pipe and the children followed him wherever he went. That was a myth or a fairy tale of Denmark, I think. And then there is the image of the Swami with the cobra in a basket, and the Swami plays his flute and the cobra rises up in response to the sound. There is a factor of attraction in sound, and there was the siren call of the spirits that dwelt in the Aegean Sea and attracted Odysseus into a vortex of a whirlpool, mm-hmm. and pulled him under.
Almost got him to crash against the rocks.
Yes.
Sirens, yeah.
Yeah. But there's a good aspect to sound, and that is the power of the sacred word, the Om, which can be sounded as an attractive medium, Alice mm-hmm. Bailey said. In a deeply spiritual sense, it can draw spiritual force, spiritual energy more correctly, into one's consciousness through the proper sounding of the Om. It can also repulse the other aspect of that law, that which is of low-grade substance.
Right, and even in the Bible, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the God sounded the Word, and the universe came into being.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it all began pretty far back, if you want to look at it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And the Word is a sound, and it's a definite sound, not a sound that we can hear with our very limited range of hearing, but God does speak through sound on His own level of beingness. And it is sound, it is sound that it continues throughout the throughout His creation.
I think we understand the power of sound to attract certain quality into one's consciousness when we think about certain types of music that are very discordant and very disquieting and upsetting and jarring and possibly low grade in their effect on us. I think a lot more attention should be given to what our young children are listening to in their iPods. But there we go off on another tangent. Music can uplift, and that again is an expression of the law of attraction. It attracts a higher spiritual component into one's consciousness.
You're right, and I think that there was another idea about the law of attraction that you mentioned earlier before the break about how it applies to death.
Yes, we didn't say much about it.
No, because it's rather interesting. Another way of looking at the law of attraction as it applies and affects the process of death.
Mm-hmm. And again, it works in a sense with sound. We're told that the soul at the moment of death, as it prepares to relinquish the form which no longer serves its purposes, sounds a note or a tone that begins the opposite of attraction, that begins the disintegration of the form, which results in the death of the body. This is part of the law, spiritual law, that the soul of its own choice decides the moment of death and shatters the form in which it has dwelt.
Right, and it's the law of attraction because the soul, through the process of restitution, the soul draws back and attracts back to itself the soul aspect that was in the physical body,
mm-hmm.
that being that is you in your physical body at the time of death. You will be drawn back to the soul as the source.
I find that so much more inspiring and so much more uplifting to view death that way, the death of a human being or an animal or whatever, that entity has been attracted back to its source. It has returned to its source. We tend to think of the person or the whatever has died as gone, just gone, no more. But when we think that they have been returned to their source, drawn back by the soul, that to me encourages a realization that their life goes on, but the form is gone.
It's a feeling as though we're going home again, which is a much more comforting thought.
Yes, yeah. And it's not the end at all. I remember years ago hearing about a very old lady who was over 100 who was interviewed, and her daughter, about 75, had just died literally the day before. And this very old lady said that she realized she had to give back the daughter that she had welcomed with such love 75 years before. Now she had to return her to her source. That's how we should view death. The attraction of the soul causes
right.
them to return.
Right, and it's at the moment of death. Now, and we're speaking of the natural process of death when it occurs, not with accidents or murder or whatever, but in the natural course of dying. The soul makes its sound, And it is at the close of the life cycle, and with the full intention, it exerts its attractive power in such a way that it offsets the attractive power that is inherent in matter itself. So you have the law of attraction working against the law of attraction of the soul working against the law of attraction in the physical material nature. So that there is kind of the battle there between the two, but eventually the soul does succeed and cuts the cord. And
another aspect that we should probably touch on in this discussion of the law of attraction is the kind of fatalistic view that I sometimes hear, that people feel there's nothing much they can do to protect themselves or guard themselves from harm. I think there's a strong sense of the evil of the world these days. But there's never enough said about the power of goodwill, which can attract more goodwill to you. In other words, if we want to make a better world, the law of attraction works through the power of goodwill to create more goodwill. We begin by bringing our own forces to bear upon the world we hope to create, bringing more goodwill into our own relationships, and we will see that that takes on a kind of accumulative and magnetic power.
Right, and that's, of course, just the law of like attracts like,
mm-hmm.
because the quality of goodwill will attract more goodwill, and that's why it's so necessary to build the right relationships that are necessary in the world today.
In essence, I think the law is that instead of criticizing what you don't like, bemoaning what you find negative, put your energy into what you do believe is positive.
Please take advantage of the special offer from Luce's Publishing Company, and that's the complete collection of Alice Bailey esoteric philosophy books. They're on sale now for a 10% discount. We've done that because this particular theme on the law of attraction, it can be found in several of her books, and some books have greater depth about the theme than others. Give us a call at 1-866-695-8247. That's 1-866-695-8247 if you'd like further information about this wonderful Alice Bailey book sale. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.